Jai Ma. Actually, after this, to speak even highest words of wisdom seem like blasphemy. After such a powerful, beautiful experience of the mother, Shivindu says, the mother is the path, the mother is the goal. If she is found, everything is found. And probably we need to elaborate on what is this everything that is found. Anyways, since we in this civilization suffer from a disease called heart blocks, meaning thereby that we are too much into the mind and there is a constant tussle between the left brain and the right brain, the left and the right. But the heart is the center which we have forgotten. So the civilizational disease is a deficiency of vitamin L because our heart is blocked to the influx of love. Or else it turns love into some kind of a superficial jumping, dancing, screaming. But love is something much too profound. But now we have to recover love through the doors of the mind. So let's begin. The coming of mother to India meant that there is a civilizational shift, the shift of power from Europe to India, from the West to the East. That is very, very clearly a symbol. See, Shakti, she has shifted from France, which was the hub of the Western civilization in the previous cycle. And now this has moved to India. It itself meant that India is going to rise and awaken and give a new light to the world. Their meeting gave birth to at least three possibilities. First is the manifestation of a new consciousness, the supramental consciousness upon earth. We'll talk about all of this as we go by. The second is an integral yoga, which is a means, a method, a process through which this new consciousness, this supramental consciousness can be manifested, activated, received and transmitted through the human channel. And third, this in its long far off goal or step by step will eventually transform earthly life into a life divine. So there are several other things which came up, institutions came up, the ashram as a laboratory of spiritual evolution, as Shurbindo called it. The ashram is not a place of withdrawal from earthly life. Its goal is not to escape from our human and divine responsibility towards earth and its creatures. And then this ashram, it extended, the seed is in the ashram, it extended far and wide through Sri Aurobindo Society. We are sitting here in one of the centers today, Relic Center, very special, very powerful, through Auroville, through several individuals all over the world who are engaged in this process of transformation. And also it gave rise to the International Sri Aurobindo International Center of Education, whose purpose has been to prepare the young children, the souls that are coming upon earth, for this new light and the new consciousness. That's the next game, or if I may say so, the game changer. So what was the need of another yoga when already we have so many yogas? Shobindo himself had realized the highest truths of the Vedantic yoga, the yoga of the Gita, one without a second, that there is one reality behind all appearances. Shobindo had realized it. The mother had realized it, and both of them had realized, going beyond it, that this reality is not just an impersonal reality, that double Purusha of the Upanishads, but beyond it, as the Gita puts it, the Purushottama, the Supreme Shakti. So all these they have realized. All that was necessary is for them to probably to help mankind by teaching the same old thing in a different way, new way, maybe more suitable to modern mind. But as Sri Aurobindo says, I am not here to give sanction to the old fiasco or to put the old wine in a new bottle. So what exactly is integral yoga about? And what really is this supramental consciousness? So Sri Aurobindo's concern was not about the soul discovering the true self, the divine self and merging with it. It was already done and it was accessible to all. And of course, that is the first indispensable step, because we have to step out of this zone of ignorance in which we live. Call it by whatever name, avidyamai maya, darkness, whatever, it doesn't matter. But that we are ignorant doesn't require anything special to know. We don't know beyond the tip of our nose, and we don't know what is going to happen the next moment. Some lines of Savitri to tone down our sense of self-importance and our sense of knowledge. Man, still a child in nature's mighty hands, in the succession of the moments lives. To a changing present is his narrow right. His memory stares back at a phantom past. The future flees before him as he walks. He waits to weigh the certitudes of his thoughts. He waits to weigh the consequence of his acts. But he knows not whether at last he shall survive or perish from the earth where he was king, like the mastodon and the sloth. We may realize divine, which is wonderful, and we must realize that the first step in any yoga, including Sri Aurobindo's yoga. But as I said, we realize the divine perfection within, but if we cannot manifest it outside, it's like someone who has discovered the source of music within but cannot sing because the throat is not tuned, because the instruments are not there. All that he can say is, oh, so wonderful, you have no clue what I have discovered. And when people ask that, can you help us in the discovery? Yes, I can help you in the discovery through a long, long process. But with the common mind of earth, I cannot share it. My instruments are not tuned towards it. I have heard Krishna's flute, but if I try to play the flute, I will turn it into Hari Prasad's flute. Wonderful, no doubt, but nothing like Krishna's flute. So transformation implies that the mind of man, the heart of man, the life of man, and eventually the very body of man also share, receive, transmit, become perfect conduits, channels, and whatever else, to manifest the divine perfection outside in earthly life and thereby have a world-changing impact. I think nobody will deny this fact that the world is far from perfect. Any doubts? In military they say, koi shak ya shawal. Yes, it is imperfect. And nobody can equally deny that we all strive for perfection. Somewhere we aspire hope. Tell a person this world is useless. Isse to mar jana achcha hai. And if Yama comes and knocks at the door, I have a message, urgent message from you, for you, from the God of death. Your time is tomorrow. You were so frustrated and annoyed with the world. He said, no, wait. Don't take me so seriously. My grandchild's wife is pregnant and she has to deliver a baby before I die. This is the state of our... So we are caught in that state, that Shakespearean to be or not to be. So this is the dilemma of man. This is the problem of earth. And we all know it. We see it all around. People say, कब इस समस्या का अंत होगा, कब उस समस्या का अंत होगा. सो द ट्रेडिशनल सॉल्यूशन इज कि अर्थली प्रॉब्लम्स विल रिमेन फॉरएवर एड इनफिनिटम एड नॉजियम. सो इज देर एनी सॉल्यूशन? यस, देर इज अ होप फॉर द इंडिविजुअल. इनफैक्ट देर आर टू सॉल्यूशंस. वन इज द साइंटिफिक सॉल्यूशन, लेट्स डू इट बेटर मेटीरियली, लेट्स ट्राई टू चेंज लाइफ एज बेस्ट एज वी कैन. बट एज वी ऑल नो, शोबिंदो सेड वेरी ब्यूटिफुली इन एन एफोरिज्म, दिस एरिंग रेस ऑफ मैन काइंड ऑलवेज ट्राइज टू चेंज सोसाइटी थ्रू गवर्नमेंट, थ्रू मशीनरी, थ्रू ऑल द आउटर मीन्स, बट नो पावर कैन सेव दी फ्रॉम द लॉ ऑफ योर बीइंग. That which thou art within, that outside thee thou shalt enjoy. Very simple. Even if we were transported to so-called heaven, but our nature is the same, then we will fight there over Kamadhenu. Who will possess Kamadhenu? We will create there all the equipment to fight. But Kamadhenu is the universal giver. So they'll have to shift Kamadhenu herself from some to somewhere else. This is our state, isn't it? Is it something very complicated? That, well, man, the solution that material advancement will solve our problems, it cannot, because our consciousness limits us. And another example is, put a dog in an air-conditioned house, in an air-conditioned, car, give it the best meat or rice available in the world, make it put nice little cute coat for winter. But a dog doesn't enjoy music. He can listen to music, maybe music they may still, but computer, philosophy, poetry, dog doesn't enjoy. He may wait by your side, listen to you. You may well think, he's understanding philosophy. He's waiting for his morsel of food. So any external condition will not change the conditions of earth in which we live, because it's the state of consciousness. So the other solution which has been so far is the spiritual solution. Okay, this world is what it is. Quit India movement 2.0, go to America. This was started. Quit India. So it started with Simon, go back. And it went on. Let's all, people are still following. We also will go away. Then you realize it's the same problem. You are a second grade citizen. You have everything outside, but inward it is hollow. So ultimately, this idea of going into an other world through escape, through nirvana, salvation, moksha, that we will never come back here. If we look at it, we get rid of all these stock ideas. Doesn't it seem an extremely, extremely selfish solution? People can take it. Nothing wrong with it. It's okay. People have a right to their choices, and if they want to escape, fine. Janam karam ke fere se hum chhoot jayenge. Baakiyon ka kya hoga? Ye unki samasya hai. वो भी मुड़ जाएं, रास्ते पर चल पड़े, सारे के सारे मुड़ जाएं भज गोविंदम करते हुए. बट इट लीव्स ए बिग गैप इन आवर अंडरस्टैंडिंग. एंड द गैप इज व्हाई ऑल दिस ड्रामा ऑफ क्रिएशन विद ऑल द पेन एंड ईविल एंड सफरिंग इट इन्वॉल्व्स, इफ एट द एंड वी वर टोल्ड बेसिकली आई एम सॉरी, यू जस्ट नीड टू गो बैक. But why we were sent here? Who put us in? What for? If the purpose was to go back from where we came. Isn't it silly if parents tell your child that you go away. Go away, have some experience of the world. And then come back. Now this experience, if it is beautiful, I understand. Bring something beautiful back home. But this is an extremely painful experience. And after that we are told, look here, you can't do anything good in the world. World will remain, so you come back home. Yes, as an individual, this was the option given to all of us. people still take it and take it as a highest truth. But it raises a question mark. The question mark is on the intelligence of the all-wise. Who would create all this? Simply to create a mess, a roasting furnace, and then to say, come back. The second problem, question it leaves unanswered, is that then what happens to man's aspiration for perfection here? Who planted this aspiration for perfection? We are incorrigible optimists, whatever we may say. We still want perfection in our relationship, in our house, in the country. Ideally, all the Mayavadins, I tell them, see, you have no right to complain for the roads, for the country, for anything. It's all a Maya for you. Don't worry about it. There are people who will take care. So it leaves a big gap. Then who planted this urge in the heart for a beautiful, divine, wonderful world? Isn't it everybody's deep inside this longing? Everybody wants the world to be a beautiful, perfect place. And the third big gap it leaves in our understanding is that this we know, that there is evolution going on. Unless we are a teacher in some college in California, where whole world has been created in the last 5,000 years, evolution doesn't exist, everybody dropped from heaven. If you are not like that, then this evolution which is going on from dust to man, logically, should it stop with man? Has the evolutionary energy exhausted itself with this? Or there is something more to come? The logical answer would be more to come. At least to me, the answer to this question was very clear. Yes, something more is bound to come. I had not read Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, but all this Advaitic philosophy I had read very deeply into it, and I found it very imperfect. So the logical answer is yes. And then question is, what next? So these are the questions that Sri Aurobindo raises. His concern is with the earth and not with individual moksha. Yes, moksha is important, but in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, moksha means freedom from ignorance. That means you realize the divine inside. You are always in a state of inner peace and bliss. But what do you do about the world problem? You come back to the mind. How do I treat patients? I have to come back to my standard operating system, which is prescribed medicines. That's the limit to which our collective earthly life has evolved. So these are the questions he raises, and his answer is that what is going on upon earth is a progressive evolution of consciousness and forms to accommodate this evolving consciousness. What it means is that, as we can take any particular thing, man discovers a new possibility to fly in the air. So it's a new possibility. Can he simply activate his engine, coal engine, and make it fly in the air? No. Then now you have to have a design and aircraft which can accommodate this new possibility. Otherwise, it's meaningless. You have discovered a new possibility, but you have to change the form to adapt to it. And every time the form evolves, the whole purpose of evolution of the form is that it can express greater and greater levels of consciousness, meaning thereby greater and greater possibilities upon earth. We can take it even in our human life. A child who may be destined to grow into a sage or a hero at 2 years old, he doesn't start writing poetry. He starts with this only. I want some water, mama. Why does he do so? Because brain is an instrument of the mind. His brain and the mind cannot accommodate what he is actually there waiting to express. So as he grows, his form develops, his brain develops, his heart grows, develops possibilities of becoming a hero or a seer. So what is happening is the form is changing and adapting to this new possibility. Or we can say this consciousness within the child is adapting and molding the form to be able to express what is already held back within. So held back within is the divine, but the form is not ready or capable of expressing the divine. Divine is omniscient, but our mind is a blank ignorance. Divine is omnipotent, but we are, you know, fearful mouses. The divine is all bliss, but in life we experience pleasure, pain and indifference. The divine is all love, but the narrowness of our heart does not allow us to love. Why love? Even think or feel for anything beyond our family. Family is the limit. I love my family. That's it. Nothing more than that. This is the degree, and divine loves all creatures. We don't even love often the plants and the other creatures who are connected to our life. The divine is all beauty, but our thoughts, speech, actions, feelings are far from beautiful, being beautiful. The divine is all peace, and our life is full of agitation, restlessness, trouble, anxiety. So what's the use of this dichotomy? Inwardly there is God, everybody tells us, but outwardly there is something else. Now we are told by very reliable voices, no, this will remain like this. This is meant to actually tell you this is so imperfect, therefore find that one. But isn't it an absurdity? Pure logic. We don't have to read the life divine to understand this. Sheer logic. All this, at least for me, I arrived at it purely logically. The life divine filled in all the gaps. Sheer logic. You look at the world with open eyes, with reality check. Don't go by what... And that's why many people nowadays, they turn atheist or agnostics. And it's a very sobering thing to go through that agnosticism. Because if truly if there is such a God, can one really love? This was my problem. He is Brahman. He is beyond all this. I have love in my heart. Where do I divert it? I can't love a God who created this mess and allowed us in only to tell few souls can escape. That's horror. Well, I may love him as a flatterer loves probably a king too for some favors. But that's not love. That's flattery. There is a difference between flattery and love. So, Sri Aurobindo and the mother's solution is that, which is so logical, that see what is happening in nature? Evolution. Will it stop with man? No. It is destined to evolve further. How far? It will evolve up till the point wherein man embodies this divine consciousness. Logic, what has gone in will come out. It's simple. If divine is embedded in creation, one day divine will emerge. Simple, plain logic. But then if the divine emerges, our instrument, our rest of the being, surface personality, inner being, mind, heart, life, all the natural members have to adapt to this. Otherwise again we'll end up with the same soup. Divine will emerge and he will modify all of this. Meaning thereby, the mind of earth, which is right now an ignorant mind, becomes a mind of light. The divine mind. Divine mind is a mind which is flushed with intuitive rays and more. But let's speak right now only intuition. It can go up to practical omniscience, but right now at least intuition. The divine heart, that love, will find a human home, a human figurative heart where love and sweetness can pour upon earth. The life impulse in us, which is prone to fatigue, prone to all kinds of disease, disorder, will become a luminous channel of the divine energy pouring upon the world. And eventually the body itself will become divine, freed from all diseases, death, suffering and pain. So how will it benefit to earth? Well, very simply, to discover the divine within, indirectly some radiation will go through. But to manifest the divine means, now the individual becomes a flawless and faithful instrument, a pure and perfect channel, a conduit or whatever we like, a vessel, a wide and plastic vessel, a strong and supple vehicle of the divine power, of the divine wisdom, of the divine ananda, to be received and transmitted to earth directly. Now there is no wheels. So what happens then? It will go into the substance of the earth, into the minds and heart of people, into the very body, touch this earthly life. And as this divine energy, divine consciousness grow, its natural consequence and the fallout will be that more and more human beings will begin to naturally grow in that consciousness. That is his solution for changing the conditions of earth, because as the mother says, the conditions in which men find themselves are the result of the condition or state of consciousness in which they live. You may create best conditions for a monkey or a dog or a donkey or a man, not much difference. So he will not be able to do anything about it. He will still, a donkey will still bray. He knows, only thing he knows is bray. A dog will only bark and look for his food. So we are trying to change outer condition, it doesn't help. First change the inner conditions, inner state. Beyond man into a divine superman, superhumanity. And then all this change. So people often ask a natural question, why should we get attached to the body? No, attachment to body for our own sake, we should never be attached to anything. It is so that the body can become a tool for the divine power. That's the only reason why body has to be taken care of. If I take care of my mobile, does it mean I am attached to it? No, not necessary. If this mobile goes, another will come. If it doesn't come, so be it. But this mobile is a means to express. Every morning we shared some beautiful messages. How will I do it? I can't be calling everybody and saying, well, so if I take care of this mobile, does it mean attachment? It means it's needed for the work. But if tomorrow it's taken away, okay, fine. That's the end of the. So it's not with attachment. And the second reason is that the divine consciousness is in everything. It's there in our Upanishad. We have forgotten this all. I call it Neo Vedanta. This is not Vedanta. Vedanta is the original Vedanta of Sri Krishna. All this Vedantic thought comes post Shankaracharya. Sri Krishna's Vedanta is very different. What does he say? His image of the horse, the senses, of the rein as the mind, of the person who is holding the rein as buddhi, of the warrior as the, or the one who is seated in the car or the chariot as the self, the Atman, and the great self which is higher. Does he say abandon all this and go into that? He said no, all this is an instrument of a divine design. That's what he tells. So if the instrument is poor, the result will be poor. Krishna needs an Arjuna. Of course he can make anybody. But imagine if Arjuna said, okay, I'll take sannyas, and interprets the teaching in the reverse way. That what is he saying? Greater than the senses is the rain, greater than the rain is the buddhi, greater than the buddhi is the Atman, greater than the Atman is the great self, then the logical conclusion should have been, Krishna would have said, you got it right, take sannyas. But what he is saying, all these, it's a relative mastery, it's a hierarchy in creation. The mind should not govern the self should govern the mind. The senses should not drive the buddhi should move the senses. That's what it means. It's not the other way around which we have made. So this Vedanta is simply a neo-escapist Vedanta. I'm very frankly saying, this is not the Vedanta of old which Sri Krishna brought to earth. Sri Aurobindo picks up that ancient teaching. The rishis, what were they striving for? They were not striving for escape from the world as we are. Okay, we pick up from Mundaka Upanishad a few passages here and there and shave our heads and say that we are sannyasis. That's not what Mundaka Upanishad is about. If you read through it, it speaks of the lower knowledge and the higher knowledge. It speaks of all these things. The 16 limbs of the great great one, shining limbs, is very powerful. They were trying to establish the divine kingdom upon earth. Asado ma sadgamya, tamaso ma jyotirgamya, mrityor ma amritam gamya. Below which Shrivindo writes Tathastu in one of his notes. That's what they wanted, to have the marriage of earth and heaven. Why were they, these rishis, engaged in discovering those weapons? August Rishi not only participates in the Ramayana war from behind, but he gives celestial weapons to Rama, who has already been given all the weapons by Vishwamitra. But August Rishi tells him, see, you will need them when you actually meet. There is a great battle. That time Mata Sita is still there. But he says there is a great battle of the future you are going to fight, and you will need these weapons. And when the actual war begins, August Rishi says, I am going to retire for some time in solitude. Retire for what? So that I can help in the war. Doesn't it sound like Shrivindo, who retired apparently to fight the great battle of the future, the Second World War? And Shrivindo even called it, it is the mother's war. Mother's war. So that, you know, the victory of one side will mean the opening of the doors to evolution will continue. The victory of the other side will lead to a retrogression. That's why when people ask me about, should we take sides, Indo-Pakistan, traditional Vedanta will say, what is this, all illusion. No, it is a war between evolutionary forces and forces of retrogression. On one side is the ideology of Sanatan Dharma, I am using the word ideology, which keeps the door open to evolution, because by its nature it's evolutionary. And on the other side is an Islamic Republic, which believes in retrogression and continuing what was there 2000 years back, which may be relevant then in the land of Arabia, but is totally irrelevant today, which believes in flattening all in the name of unity, uniformity. Should we not take sides if we are concerned with the earth? Yes. But not because I am a born Hindu, but because it's for the good of the earth. Even if I was a total non-believer, I would say Sanatan Dharma is better for the earth than these fellows who want to claim the whole earth for their use. So this is how choices have to be made. Choices are necessary on earth. It's not about, again, all is same, all is one, all is equal. There is nothing more foolish than to say like that. And when people say, all is same, there is the one divine in all. Okay, so my little answer is, go pick up the snake and put it on your neck. A poisonous snake, okay? All is same, all is equal. What is the big deal? So Shrivindo speaks about all is same in their essence. But in manifestation, there is hierarchy, there is evolution, there is retrogression. And it is important because manifestation is also the leela of the divine. Divine is not only within us, but he is expressing himself through the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, the galaxies, through the atom, the quasar, through the plant and animal and bird and beast and flower. Divine is manifesting himself. What else is Sharbhava? We speak about Sharbhav and just make it a philosophical statement. All this mutable world. How does Shrivindo describe Sharbhav? In the blue of the sky, in the green of the forest. Whose is the hand that has painted the glow when the winds were asleep in the womb of the ether? Who was it raised them and bade them to blow? Now this is the divine is also in manifestation. We forget this. So manifestation is bound to one day become perfect. Can we participate in it? Shrivindo says yes. But we cannot participate so long as our operating system is mental. I may want to help India. There are some people now who will say, mere ko haath mein gun thama do, main chala jaunga. In Pakistan somebody was ranting like that. Main jaunga border wale. He'll be kicked out. Supposing I say, give me a gun and I am going to fight on the frontiers. I'll operate the SAM 400 missiles. If I say this, people will say, have you gone crazy? First, you must learn about them. Your vansha achhi hai. Lekin tu to kaam ko aur barbaad kar dega. If I say, I want to speak, teach philosophy, I'm afraid this kind of thing happens with Sri Aurobindo also. I will take a class on Sri Aurobindo. You have to be deep into Sri Aurobindo, and the grace has to be there before this can be done. It cannot be done without the sanction from the mother and Sri Aurobindo. Let me say that. It's not like I have read a little bit or I have read more and I'll start taking a class and speak on Sri Aurobindo and the mother. It applies to everything. Anything in life. You have to first get some touch of that consciousness. Then it's possible. So we are like that. We want to make the world a beautiful place, but we neither know how to do it. That famous little joke of Dilip Kumar Roy writes to Sri Aurobindo. He says, "You know, sir, what has this Anatole France writes? That, well, they say that God is all-powerful and all-knowing. But then why is the world the way it is? Is it that he wants to change the world but cannot because he is impotent? Or is it that he doesn't want to change the world, though he knows everything, in which case he is perverse?" Very true. Only perverse person will take joy in all this. And if he is both omniscient and omnipotent and can change the world and wants to change the world, why doesn't he do so? Sri Aurobindo's answer in a jokingly way, then what his true answer is. So the joking way, he said, "You know what, Anatole, you don't know the other side of the story. Anatole France met God in some heaven of irony where they discussed this problem. And God said to Anatole, 'You know, Anatole, I would want to change, but you know, I am a little bit of a retiring predisposition. So before I could change, man came with his science and industry and said, we are going to change the world.' I said, 'Okay, go ahead. But what is it? The reports that I hear from the world are not very pleasant. Is it that science could change the world but would not? In which case, is science perverse? Or it could not change the world even though it wanted to change the world. Does it mean that science is very limited? Do you agree to that? And if it could and would, why doesn't it do so?" And then he says something very beautiful. He doesn't say there, but later on he says, "Yes, it can be changed and the divine wants to change it. Problem is, does man really is ready to listen to the divine? He continues to say, 'I will change it this way, that way.' It's almost like a child who is entering into mama's kitchen and saying, 'I'll make it, I'll make it. Nahi nahi, main namak dalunga, main ye dalunga, dalo. Ye main karke pura khana tum hi khaoge. Khana to tumne hai. Dal de, jo dalna hai, dal de. Namak mirch jo dalna hai. माए बैठ के मुस्कुरा रही हैं, एक और मामा वो आप ही बना दो." इतनी सी बात है, समझने में क्यों सेंचुरीज लग गई मनुष्य को. अभी भी Sri Aurobindo हैज ब्रॉट, वी आर टॉकिंग ऑफ मदर, देर इज ए प्रेयर ऑफ द मदर सेप्टेंबर 20th 1919, इफ आई एम करेक्ट. It's the last prayer. No, it's okay. I remember that first part where she says, "Since man refused the meal that I had prepared for him, O Lord, I have given it back to thee. And you have come graciously and accepted." Sri Aurobindo and the mother want to change us, change this world, fulfill the deep aspiration, make it a beautiful world. The finding of the divine are part of it. It's not excluded. Nirvana, moksha is part of it, not excluded, but see the resistance. I have never understood, except that there is a subconscious resistance. See the resistance. He is giving us a complete thing, but we want half thing. I don't know, is it resistance or perhaps selfishness? Isme kaun lage? Main apni potli bandh ke चदरिया झीनी रे झीनी जो की तो धर दीनी चदरिया. ये क्या बात हुई? और भी लोग यूज करेंगे. इट्स लाइक ऑलमोस्ट सेइंग दैट आई वेंट, देयर वाज ए यू नो नाइस चादर टू टेक ऑन इट मी. आई टुक इट, आई डिडंट मेक इट डर्टी, आई केप्ट इट एज इट इज. पर जो आएगा आपको उसको ठीक तो करना है ना, रखना है, यू हैव टू लीव इट इन अ बेटर शेप. सपोजिंग द चादर इज नॉट मेड ऑफ द मटेरियल विच विल सेव यू इन कोल्ड, यू वोर इट, यू डिडंट केयर अबाउट द कोल्ड, बट समबडी एल्स इज गोइंग टू कम, यू हैव टू टेल द ओनर, देखो भाई ये चादर से इंसान का कपड़ा तो ढक जाता है लेकिन उसकी ठंड नहीं जाती है, ये तो जरूरी है ना. तो ये पंच तत्व की बनी चदरिया, वी नो ऑल दैट स्टफ एंड आई टेल यू इट्स सो पर्सनली टू मी, इट्स लाइक वापस हम उसी में चले जाते हैं. हाँ पंच तत्व की बनी है तो पंच तत्व का तो वायरस भी बना है, तो वायरस और मैन में डिफरेंस है कि नहीं है? पंच तत्व का तो वो मट्टी है, तो हम पंच तत्व वही कर लें क्या? पंच तत्व के अंदर कोई चीज है जो काम कर रही है. शिवरबिंदु का सांख्य से थोड़ा डिफरेंस जो लाते हैं, जो लॉजिकल है. इन सांख्य इट्स ऑल नेचर विच इज डूइंग एंड यू हैव द 21 और 23 और 24 डिपेंडिंग ऑन हाउ यू लुक एट इट. एंड देर इज अ पुरुषा हुज लाइट फॉल्स एंड नेचर बिकम्स एक्टिव. If it withdraws, it becomes inactive. Then, and there is only one Purusha to start with. बाद में वो सारे Purusha reflection है. तो logically, one person's escape should finish the whole thing. It doesn't happen. So there is some reality of the multiple Purushas, isn't it? Otherwise, one Purusha's withdrawal should. So there is some reality of the multiplicity. And the second aspect is that what is driving intelligence is understood that nature becomes conscious, but nature is not just conscious, it's driving, it's moving. So Shivindo brings it in the Life Divine. There is a beautiful chapter answering all this, that there is a conscious force in creation. Panch tattva make the putla, but what breathes force and power in the putla is that which has whose power can shake the hills and mountains and make them crumble. That is the power, Shakti, the divine Shakti, which is behind nature, gives it the secret impulsion. Call it Yog Maya, doesn't matter. Our Yog Maya is the veil through which the divine Shakti is working. So we have to become, right now, we are still nature is operating system. But behind nature is supernature. That's what Shri Krishna says in the Gita. That there is a higher supernature. My Prakriti. Doesn't he say? That I'll first tell you about this lower Prakriti. Trugunatmai Prakriti. Then doesn't it say, now I'll tell you about my Prakriti. He makes a difference, isn't it? Between this nature and the higher supernature. And then he describes everything, the most beautiful, the most essential that I am. I am taste in the waters. What does he mean? Why is he describing it? So the thing is that this higher nature, the divine Shakti, if that can be made to work through us, not this inferior lower nature. Inferior lower nature receives the impulsion but invariably diminishes it, distorts it. It's like a man who is given an order by सुबह, I don't mean it personally, हाँ सुबह 10 बजे मुझे गाड़ी चाहिए. आपने फोन कर दिया किसको? वो हमारा पांडिचेरी. आपने वो जो है ड्राइविंग उसको बोल दिया, भैया देखो सुबह 8 बजे गाड़ी आनी है, जाना है स्टेशन. हाँ जी हो जाएगा जी. इंडिया में ये बहुत बड़ी बीमारी है, प्रोफेशनलिज्म नहीं है. आप बोलो नहीं हो सकता. नहीं नहीं ये बोलेंगे दूसरे के पास चला जाएगा. हाँ जी बिल्कुल जी हो जाएगा जी. वो आप वेट कर रहे हैं. मेरे जैसा बंदा तो 8:05 पे फोन करेगा. आप लोग बोलते नहीं 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 अभी 8 बजने दो. नहीं कहा ठीक है बजने दो 8, देखो क्या होता है. 8 बज गए गाड़ी नहीं आई. अब आप उसको फोन करो, बोलेगा नेड़े ही है जी, फंसे जी, थोड़ा ट्रैफिक में फंसे जी, आ रहे जी 10 मिनट में पहुंचे. अब आप 10 मिनट बाद आपने फोन किया, जी बस पहुंचा जी, अभी मेरे ड्राइवर से बात हुई है. और आपके 15-20 मिनट चले, जी बस अरे यार एक टाइम तो बताओ कब आऊंगा. जी 30 मिनट में आपके पास पहुंच जाएगा पक्का. अब ये हमारा हाल है क्योंकि उसकी कैपेसिटी लिमिटेड है. ही डज नॉट वांट टू एडमिट. लोअर नेचर इज लाइक दैट. भगवान तो उसके अंदर इन्फिनिट शक्ति पोर कर सकते हैं और करते हैं, इन्फिनिट प्रेम पोर करते हैं हमारे हृदय के अंदर, हम सबके हृदय के अंदर. हम क्या करते हैं, क्योंकि हम कहते हैं भाई हमको तो केवल इतना चाहिए, साई इतना दीजिए, ता जा में कुटुंब समाए, मैं भी भूखा ना रहूं, साधु ना भूखा जाए. भैया संसार की भूख भी तो है. प्रेम आ गया इन्फिनिट, तो हम क्या करते हैं उसको, हम यूज करते हैं ये सारा हम, मैं, हम दो, हमारे दो. और क्या रिजल्ट होता है उसका, फिर वो डोर बंद हो जाता है. कहते ये तो फाइनाइट ही, इसका इसकी जिंदगी तो फाइनाइट केरे में चलेगी, चलो चलने दो. तो फाइनाइट और इन्फिनिट का यही प्ले है, जिसको ईश उपनिषद कैसे कहती है, विद्यांच अविद्यांच यस्त द्वेदो भयम सह, अविद्या और दी अविद्यामय माया इज लिमिटेड, फाइनाइट. वी आर फाइनाइट, वी बिलीव सो दैट वी आर फाइनाइट. We believe that we can only have finite possibilities, and therefore, divine gives us only that much. चुल्लू भर पानी अगर वो है, चुल्लू भर की प्यास है, तो उतना ही मिलेगा. नियाग्रा फॉल को होल्ड करने के लिए यदि हमारे पास एक छोटी सी लुटिया है, उतनी मिलेगी. वो भी अगर कमजोर है तो टूट जाएगी, बह जाएगी, और आप भी साथ में बह जाओगे अगर नीचे खड़े हो गए. यही होता है ना. तो ये अब, लेकिन डिवाइन इज इन्फिनिट, ही वांट्स टू गिव अस इन्फिनिट नॉलेज. यही तो हमारे ऋषियों ने, ये अक्सर लोग कहते हैं बहुत थे, बहुत कमाल, लेकिन कैसे किया था उन्होंने ये कमाल, थोड़ी किए नॉर्मल साइंस के प्रोसेस से. दे हैड ओपन देमसेल्व्स टू द इन्फिनिट कॉन्शियसनेस एंड दे वर ट्राइंग प्रिसाइडली दिस कि कैन वी एकोमोडेट एंड ट्रांसमिट इन्फिनिट नॉलेज. What does it describe Brahman as? Yasmin vigyate vigyati sarvam, knowing which all can be known. Brahman is, that's how it is described. It's not described as knowing which I know myself and be done with world. This is a later misinterpretation of this great Vedantic truth. The Rishi describes Brahman as knowing which all can be known. All means all. It means history, geography, science, mathematics, everything. That's how they could know in whatever field. And that's one story of Ramanujam. May have seen the movie, The Man Who Knew Infinity. He had suddenly opened in his mind to these higher consciousness. So he used to get equations descending into his mind. And people would ask, how could you do it? He said, I also don't know. I see these equations. He used to sit in the temple. Mother was a very devotee of Ma Saraswati. But he died young. Why? Because we are not ready. That's the difference between bringing the power and, you know, if the channel is not ready. He received it, but beyond a point, he could not contain it, could not express it, because the instrument is not ready. So this yoga involves two phases. One was bringing down and establishing the supramental consciousness, the new consciousness, call it the unveiled divine consciousness. Infinite consciousness doesn't matter upon earth. Establish it here as the next principle of evolution. Second, to prepare the mind, life, heart and body of those who will embody it. Who will embody it? Very simply, those in whom the aspiration has awakened. Nobody else to start with. All else will be later. But to start with, there are people who carry a streak of madness in them, who don't want moksha, because they think it is selfish, who want this world to become beautiful and harmonious and happy and divine. These mad people will gravitate towards this yoga. Willy-nilly, rightly or wrongly, the others can continue in their temple or their, ashramas, learning how to meditate. So this second part of the project is integral yoga. Integral yoga was not to bring down the supermind, that is Mother and Shurbindo's work. But integral yoga is needed so that when the supermind comes, if we are not ready to receive it, our situation will be like a Ramanuja or like some of these yogis who experience something but they couldn't express it. And we see another example in the life of Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda. What does Swami Vivekananda say when in Chicago he's told, oh, you are great, you have done this, done that. He says, what are you saying? My guru, Sri Ramakrishna, he could make 1,000 Vivekanandas. But ask Sri Ramakrishna, he's saying, oh, Naren, tu agya, tera wait kar raha tha main kyon? Because the truth that he has to express in the world, Sri Ramakrishna cannot manifest by himself, but he can create a Vivekananda to express that truth. But you can see that they were at one level trying to create a synthesis. The last synthesis between earthly life and spiritual life, well, they could not. And it was not their goal. But at least a synthesis of all the religions, different approaches, which is what the overmind is about. But see, both of them, for Sri Ramakrishna, beyond a point, he developed this throat cancer at 58. And he said, what can I do? I have to take. He would want to speak, but the instrument. But even during his last days, when people came and asked him to speak something, Ma Sharda, everybody will say, Thakur, don't go, don't go. You need rest. But Thakur will go, and when he would speak, he would be absolutely as if normal. But then again, after that, he lapsed into that state. With Swami Vivekananda, we see the same thing. At 39, because the soul is expanded, there is tremendous power. All this is moving him, but the body cannot contain the heart itself. So, this is something like what the Vedic Rishis were attempting. And they tried it in the mind. That's why we have the Gayatri Mantra to illumine the mind. What about heart, life, even the body? They have to be included. At some point, they have to be included. Because if the body and life and heart remain untransformed, and only the mind is activated, not transformed, which is a big word, but even uplifted, ascension to higher levels, it's not enough. It's like we'll have the knowledge, but knowledge is only one aspect of the divine. Love, beauty, ananda, peace, power, all these are aspects of the divine. So that's why we see a difference in mother's ways and the way of traditional yogis. How did mother teach us or showed the way? Of course, she would go into trances, she would go, but she would play, she would play tennis, she would arrange flowers, she would go to the playground, and she would go to the dining room, wash the plate, show them how to wash. She would teach in the school, and through all this, she was activating the supramental consciousness in the earth atmosphere in every possible field. Because that's the whole purpose. So she was bringing the supramental consciousness all through in every action upon this earthly life, and that's why she gave importance to work. That in Sri Aurobindo Ashram, we don't give a mantra, we give work. The mother does not give a mantra, she gives work. You will discover the mantra if you have to, but the work, because through work, her force, when we work for her, of course, whatever work we may be doing, then her force begins to flow through the mind, heart, body, life. And it begins to change, replacing the old by the new. It's a long process, doesn't matter. Chimps didn't evolve into human being in one leap. They took several, almost, the time? 10:30, okay, we have five minutes. Yeah. So the chimps didn't evolve in one go. Between the chimpanzee and the human today, there were 9 subspecies of human-like beings. So when people are very impatient, they say, where is the supramental being? If we keep staying with this, probably even when the supramental being come, we'll say, thoda different hai, that's it. Like if you ask a chimpanzee, if BBC, CNN take, aapka manushi ke baare mein kya vichar hai? बोलेगा कोई विचार नहीं है. नहीं कुछ तो बोलिए. बोलेगा बेकार है मनुष्य. पूछ नहीं है मनुष्य की. बिना पूछ का मनुष्य कोई मनुष्य होता है? शान तो पूछ में है. पूछ अच्छा, पूछ को छोड़ दीजिए, कुछ और बोलिए. देखो कूद नहीं सकता, एक पेड़ से दूसरा पेड़ नहीं कूद सकता. और बल, वाइटलिटी तो देखो, फट से थक जाता है. गाड़ी पता नहीं क्या बैठ के घूमता रहता है. चार कदम चलने से उसका सांस चढ़ जाए, मनुष्य तो बेकार है। आप उससे बोलेंगे नहीं नहीं तुमको पता नहीं है, वो न्यूयॉर्क टू न्यू दिल्ली उड़ जाता है। कहता है ये सब बेकार की बातें मत बोलिए, ना कोई न्यूयॉर्क हमने देखा ना न्यू दिल्ली देखा, ये सब आप कपोल कल्पना मत बोलिए ये सब बात। चिंपैंजी तो यही बोलेगा, पर मनुष्य जानता है कि अंतर क्या है। उसी प्रकार की चीज अभी हो रही है, द ह्यूमन डज नॉट अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट्स हैपनिंग इन दिस वर्ल्ड, सुपर ह्यूमन टाइप इज ऑलरेडी स्टार्टेड, वेयर शुड वी फाइंड इट इन आश्रम्स? नो, इन आश्रम एवरीबडी वॉन्ट्स टू गो देयर, दे आर नाइस पीपल, गुड पीपल, वेयर विल वी फाइंड देम? इन हार्वर्ड, जे एन यू, दिस यूनिवर्सिटी, वेरी एजुकेटेड, PhD, डबल PhD, D.Litt, DM, नो, यू मे फाइंड द सुपर ह्यूमन समवेयर इन अ पीसेंट हु इज वर्किंग क्वाइटली इन द फील्ड्स, बिकॉज द सुपर माइंड डज नॉट एक्ट अकॉर्डिंग टू द ह्यूमन आइडिया, इट पिक्स अप बेस्ड ऑन इट्स ओन लॉजिक, इट्स ओन इंट्रेंसिक इन बिल्ट ट्रूथ कॉन्शियसनेस। That's why sometimes becomes very difficult. People used to ask mother, why you have picked this up? We are not the best specimen. Nirodha once asked Aurobindo. He says, why you have picked me up for such nice, jovial exchanges to write Savitri, all this? Why you have picked me up? He says, find out. Discover. So discover our own unique relation with the divine. Our own unique mode of expression of the divine, to discover what we are intended to do to fulfill the divine purpose, to discover the divine will within me, to attune all our different parts to the divine force. All this is integral yoga. So integral yoga is not just another yoga where only, you know, we are in other yogas, and Shobindu says it very clearly that if the goal is ultimately dissolution or mukti, then we don't need an integral yoga. We have to pick up any of the path. We can do bhakti yoga or jnana yoga or karma yoga. Why should we do integral yoga? Why do we want to engage all these different members? What's the point? And here the meaning of yoga is very different. It's not simply modifying these parts so that the soul can go and unite with the divine. These parts, each of them must express the divine, which is a very different thing altogether. And similarly, he says integral yoga is not for God's sake, not meditation for the mind, bhakti for the heart, pranayama for the vital, asana for the body. That has nothing to do with integral yoga. It's not a mathematical equation that, okay, integral yoga means body, all this. For the body, I'll do asanas and walking. For the heart, I'll do some bhakti yoga, bhajan kirtan. For the mind, I'll sit in meditation, do some reading, contemplation. And for the life, I'll do some seva. Integral yoga begins when all these parts begin to open to the mother. The mother is the key of integral yoga. There is no integral yoga without the mother. Why the mother? Because she has embodied the divine shakti of which we are speaking now. She has embodied. She is the first prototype who embodies within her the infinite consciousness, infinite power, infinite delight. We just read this mantra, no? Saw this mantra. Om Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parme. The only mantra where mother is the highest mother's mantra. Otherwise, see all the other mantras have some aspect or the other of the mother. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Shanti Rupend Sankstita. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Vidya Rupend Sankstita. This is a mantra which is complete. Sachidananda Brahma is the highest. This is infinite or the divine consciousness, divine delight, divine existence altogether. And how beautifully mother has translated it. Om She the delight. Om She the consciousness. She the existence. And if you see the sequence itself, is very interesting. Divine as Sat Chit Ananda, and mother as Anandamayi Chaitanyamayi Satyamayi Parve. Because you are going from creation towards manifesting that highest truth. So she embodied it. Why she embodied it, that's a meaningless question. The Divine Mother had to take some form because the time had come to for man to open towards a greater age, higher age. So the Divine Shakti took the form of one whom we adore as the Divine Mother. Any form, this question would remain, is simply that the Divine, it's not the form. Form is important, but it's the Divine Shakti which chose to express in this form. That is the greatness of the form. Otherwise, there are many mothers. Nowadays, we have many mothers. People don't understand again the difference, because it's not about mother in this sense that, okay, being Shobindo's partner, therefore she is mother. No. Shobindo himself called her mother. When mother was asked by Dilip Kumar Roy, he always wanted some excuse, some justification for all his interesting things. So he says, mother, you and Shobindo are very good friends, isn't it? So mother knew why he is asking. So mother paused for a moment. She says, you know, he calls me mother. And what did mother call him? Lord. That was the relation. The Lord and his Shakti. The mother. He would wait for the mother like a child. Shobindo has shown the way. What it means to surrender to the mother. The mother would come and comb his hair. The mother would arrange for his bath. Then Shobindo would go for the bath. And she has 100 things to do. It's not like that she was, whenever, she is moved by the divine Shakti within. There is no such. The mother would bring his, you know, breakfast or whatever, one or two meals a day. Very scanty, but she would bring. And then Shobindo would be sitting like a child. And then he would eat whatever mother brings. That's why in the ashram, when somebody asked, can you give us, I want to meet some sadhak who is the ultimate symbol of perfect surrender to the mother, perfect surrender that Shobindo speaks of. He says surrender is the beginning of this path and surrender is the grand culmination of the path. It starts with central surrender, progresses through detailed surrender, ends with complete surrender. So the sadhak, he was a little cranky but a little wise. All cranky people are little wise and all wise people vice versa. So he says, Hardhan Bhakshi, he was a military man. So he says, I'll tell you, but don't tell it to anybody else. It's a secret. Known only to people in the ashram, and not that too, very few people know who are the advanced sadhaks who have done this. So he says, yeah, tell me. He says, come near, because you are not supposed to share it. He goes nearer. He says, there are only two people who have done this perfect surrender. Who? He says, Shobindo and the mother. But they have shown us the way. If the mother said something, Shobindo say, oh, the mother has said so. Then, after that, he never, never ever said, please explain to her or call. No. Equally, when the mother was told, mother Shobindo wants it so, oh, Shobindo wants it so, that's the end of the story. How far are we? Shobindo says so, that's the end of the story. That was the perfect. That's why the mother described their relation. People have this tendency, everything they must bring down to wife and husband. Uske aage to kuch hote hi nahi hai duniya mein. Pata nahi kya format hai ye. अरे भाई वाइफ हस्बैंड के अलावा भी होता है, फ्रेंडशिप भी होती है, बड़ी अच्छी होती है, इससे भी बेटर होती है. सॉरी कहाँ गए शमी जी? मतलब घूम फिर के हमारा फॉर्मेट ना, वाइफ हस्बैंड बच्चे, दैट्स द एंड ऑफ द स्टोरी. सो क्या रिलेशन है दोनों के बीच में? मदर एक्सप्लेन्स इट. ही सेज, शी सेज, without him I exist not. करना ऐसा प्यार करके देखो. वह एक शेर है, लेकिन यहां तो she is revealing a profound truth. But even then, at a lesser level, much lesser, if we can say without them I exist not. And the शेर is, कटाए सर जो उल्फत में, उल्फत इज प्यार, आई थिंक मेनी पीपल विल नो बट स्टिल, कटाए सर जो उल्फत में वही सरदार होता है। आगे कि दाना खाक में मिलकर गुले गुलफाम होता है, खाक इज मिट्टी, दाना इज द बीज सीड, जब ये पूरी तरह मिट्टी में जाके खो जाता है तब उसके अंदर से फूल खिलते हैं संभावना। तो वी कांट गो वेड विद आई वॉन्ट टू प्रिजर्व माई स्पेशल इंडिविजुअलिटी, ईगो इंडिविजुअल, ट्रू इंडिविजुअलिटी कम्स बाई मदर एंड श्योरबिंदो, विल टॉक ऑफ इट इन द नेक्स्ट सेशन, द निटी ग्रिटीज ऑफ द योगा, बट जस्ट टू गिव अ बैकग्राउंड। सो मदर सेज विदाउट हिम आई एग्जिस्ट नॉट, also he says on Shrivindo's behalf, without him, without me, he is unmanifest. The divine, now this is their perfect relation, but essentially all this world is needed to manifest the divine. The human instruments are needed to manifest the divine, but if the instrument is faulty, again as I said, we can't just be emotional and say that, well, I want to fight for the country. You will just be killed. There will be only one bullet. Probably without the bullet, you will fall down, seeing the actual war and say, kahan phas gaya. So, human instrument is to manifest the divine consciousness. And it is only possible when the human instrument can say in all sincerity and with all certainty and with all the truth that without thee I do not exist. And the whole yoga is about how not to exist and how to let the divine exist and express himself through whatever we may want to call ourselves. The best word is child of the divine mother. So we'll stop here. Come back 11:15. Is that okay? 11:20. We'll come back.